Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Wow.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. Just before we get up and running, just looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, let you know what's been happening. The Roosters over the Broncos, 58 points to 12. The Rabbitohs, too good for the Eels, 38-0. And the other games, 14-10.
What was that, Tom? Who was that? What was that 14, for the 6 o'clock game last night?
14-10.
Best game of the round, if you ask me.
No point even talking about that game, the Dragons and the Titans.
Are you disappointed because of the way they played or because of the fact their finals... The finals are certainly now out of reach.
It was a dream only. It's nice no, dream. It was the way they played. That first half, 2-0 they went, I think, the Sheds at halftime, Brownie, didn't they? But they had all the ball. They were on the line, and they just did not look
My good mate Ray Abraham, he is the most loyal, passionate Dragons fan out there. Uh-huh. And he rang me during the week. He goes, "We can make the playoffs, Brownie." I said, "Ray, this year's not the year for the Dragons to make the playoffs." He goes, "Mate, we can make the playoffs." Then he rang me this morning and said, "We can't make the playoffs." I said, next year, right?
Yeah, and was there a sense of relief in his voice once? Because once you can wipe that, you go, "Oh, I can just enjoy."
He's not going to get teased. That's the whole thing. He's not going to get led down the path for the rest of the year. If they come out and have a good win next week, he knows that they probably haven't got the games left to make it.
Exactly. Tony, if they come out and win the rest of their games and finish ninth, how does that make you feel?
That can't happen because I understand there's a contractual arrangement where the Tigers always finish ninth.
Yes, I believe that is the case. For the first time, I think the Tigers might actually finish lower than that.
Mm. Oh, gee, there's plenty to get to this afternoon, though, before we get to beautiful Tamworth for the Warriors and the Knights. Em, just this week, how's life as a brunette going for you?
It's going great. They say blondes have more fun, but I've had a pretty good week. So,
have you?
Yes. No, well, I've just thought needed a change, change in my life. So I've gone a different style as well. Gerd's asked me if it's a different style. So, yes, it's a different cut, different colour.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think the first comment from Gerd's was something about curtains and drapes or something like that. So that was a nice way to
Aren't
be introduced.
Aren't curtains and drapes the same thing, son?
They are, really. Yeah.
So it should be almost, drapes and carpet, maybe. I don't know.
I'm with you. How long since you've been brunette, though?
Oh, maybe 4 years since.
So you haven't forgotten how to be a brunette then? You're okay?
No, I don't think so. I just chop and change when something happens in my life where I need a change. I just do something drastic and go from really blonde to really dark. So.
And Brownie, your hair stayed the same this week, which is great news.
Just a number one or two. That's as much as she goes these days, Gerds, and as tricky as it needs to be.
How was your Friday night?
Had a great Friday. Mm-hmm. My wife decided during the week she wanted to get fit. So I took her down to my mate Jace Hebbard. He's a CrossFit inventive out there at Cronulla. He's a great trainer. So he put her through paces for the first time.
Wow.
She got very sore. And then we went down to Sea Level. Outstanding restaurant down at Cronulla, right on the beach. You watch the surfers catch the waves as you drink your cocktail and eat your oysters. Mm. And the Aloosh boys have had it for 25 years. And great hosts, anyone that... doesn't live in the
Didn't
show that needs
long,
to go.
Did, so,
didn't take him long.
Did not take him long.
He knows the routine. I love it. All right, the bad news coming out of the South Sydney game, and we'll speak to Damien Cook a little bit later in the show, certainly in this hour, is that injury to Latrell Mitchell. So the latest is that he's gone for certain this year, mate. It's a 5-month looking injury, a ruptured tendon rather than just a hamstring strain or pull.
Yeah, so originally I was on the sideline for that game and they said, could be a month, maybe only a couple of weeks, because they thought the fact that it was sort of lower to mid hamstring rather than higher, it was better news. So we thought that's okay, he'll be right for the finals, but much worse than originally thought. And I think originally too, Latrell seemed in pretty good spirits there at the end of the game. Usually when they're told it's season over, you can see how dejected they are. So it seemed relatively positive coming out of Thursday night. But it's devastating for Latrell just because he was just starting to hit his straps again. And after an off-season of changing clubs. He had drama off the field, and he was just starting to be that Latrell Mitchell superstar again. Yeah. I know that injuries are part of the game, but it just seems so unfair given everything he'd been through to get, and especially the spot that the Bunnies are in as well.
Yeah, the guy, his teammate actually coming down on top of him, looked horrendous, and as it turned out, is horrendous for Latrell Mitchell. Also impacts a little bit, I guess, going into next season in terms of your, you know, prep preseason, because you probably won't be able to run around till into that campaign, will he?
Yeah, well, if it sounds like that type of surgery, if it's that long, he wouldn't be running until sometime in the new year, I'd imagine.
Right. And he was looking so fit too, wasn't he? He was probably the leanest we'd seen him in 12 months
definitely
or so.
Definitely the leanest, yeah.
Next, let's go to that. Roosters and the Broncos. 58 points to 12. We'll go there next. All thanks to King G. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. We are here now with the Broncos and the Roosters. I mean, the Broncos, 58 points to 12. Anthony Seibold, Gert, do you think he'd be happy that he's decided he's gone off mustering?
Yeah.
Rather than mustering any of the troops on the field, he's gone up to gather cattle in some form or other.
I don't know a lot about mustering, Tony, mm-hmm. to be honest, but yep. Apparently he's gone off to one of his friend's farms to have some time with family and that, which I gather would be really important to him at the moment.
Yeah, get a bit of space, I guess. Absolutely. But the results, absolutely no different to what we've seen
from
the Broncos all year.
I don't think anyone really expected anything too different. Like, there was never going to be an immediate change. There's more problems than just getting rid of the coach, I believe, at the Broncos, and that's a whole other story.
Which we will get into.
But I think it's more, that game last night represented to me, Tone, more about where the Roosters are at and where they're, what they're building towards, and how excited Robbo was after the game was an indication of, you know, even though they've lost some key players early on in the season, they're ready to go. And the fact that they've won two premierships, I don't think means anything to them at the moment. They're a group that are just after success on a weekly basis and to improve performances. And the way that he spoke about not worrying about results so much, but just about players and the club in general being able to just worry about their performance on a weekly basis and going to the next level, just told me that they're primed and ready to go for the back end of the year. And they showed it, didn't they, with the way they played. They were awesome last night. Well,
we shouldn't be surprised. Robbo was on a couple of weeks ago, and one of the questions I had for him is, where do you see yourself this time this year compared to the other last few years? And he was very positive. They were in a very, very good spot. So for me, that told me if they're reasonably fit, they'll be top four and playing either in the grand final or the week before the grand final at worst.
And considering they did that with this long list of injuries, yeah. So the amount of points they put on the Broncos, and to think in the next couple of weeks, they'll get back Angus Crichton, Mitch Orbison, Luke Keary, and probably next week, Sonny Bill Williams will come into calculations as well. So they look almost unstoppable, and they looked so fit as well. You look all across the park and you could not find a weakness.
I'm going to defend the Broncos though. If the Broncos outside would have put 40 on the inside themselves. You go through, Brisbane's got out, Payne Haas, Matt Lodge, Tevita Pengai Jr.,
Alex Glenn,
Jake Turpin, Alex Glenn, Thomas Flegler,
Xavier Coates,
Jack Bird, Anthony Milford. Mate, that side would have flogged the side that played last night.
Yep.
So everyone's talking about Brisbane, which I'm going to talk about later. Brisbane's in a far, far better situation with their roster than what people are saying. They just need to make one or two adjustments, that's all.
Yeah, it's hard to know who would have got, in terms of coaching, would have got Brisbane across the line last night, given, as you say, the number of troops that were out. But there's some great guys who have got the opportunity for the Roosters and have come through as well. Satila Tupanua. Yeah. How good
and that's,
is
and that's
he?
The thing, and
scary
that's,
good.
That's just going to benefit their back end of the season, isn't it? Because, you know, all teams this year have gone through these periods where they've been able to give the younger guys opportunities, and some clubs have come through and made a real fist of that. Now, the Roosters were forced into that position, but they're going to benefit at the back end of the season, not just through the pure fact that they've got guys that have been able to play footy that generally wouldn't get a go in the first in the top grade with the injuries. The pressure that now that's going to put on other players to perform is just going to raise their bar. You talk about Tupanua, where you're going to have Cordner, Crichton, Sonny Bill, Tupanua. There's a couple of other back rowers in there also, like Orbison, all just pushing for two, maybe three spots, one on the bench. Now, that's just going to lift the level of performance for the rest of those guys. So, and they've got a few situations like that where, you know, in the halves, they've got a few guys fighting over positions as well when Luke Keary comes back. So, yeah, other than, you know, obviously the James Tedesco's and like, there's guys there that are going to be looking for opportunities at the back end of the season, and it's going to push them all to another level.
Even the likes of, yeah, Tupanua, Nat Butcher, all of those players getting an opportunity doing so well, that allowed someone like Siwa Tokeaho, he only played 27 minutes. So when he came off, Robbo didn't even put him back on. And over the last month or even longer, I think there have been quite a few games he's punched out 80 minutes in the front row. But Robbo said that was just an opportunity to say, thanks for everything you've done. Mm. Take a rest heading into the finals, and they didn't even need Siwa to come back on. So you can get close to 80 minutes out of him. You've got all those troops coming back. It's pretty happy days if you're a Roosters fan.
It's where the strong clubs keep getting stronger than the lesser clubs, or the ones that are very well organised and recruit well. So Satilli's, he's been at the Roosters for 4 years now.
Yeah.
He's not like he's all of a sudden, Satilli's a good player. He's been a good player for as a junior. And they've worked with him, worked with him, worked with him. Lindsay Collins, same. He's been at the Roosters now for 3 years. And these blokes have been playing, you know, 8 or 10 games a year for 2 or 3 years, you know. So it's not all of a sudden where Trent Robinson's just gone, oh, we better go and sign this bloke. These blokes have been in their system for a long time. And Melbourne Storm last week had 8 blokes out. And Parramatta, who were full strength, fell in and beat them, basically. Because that's why the good clubs are so good, because they're well organised, well planned. Their coaching at the younger age group is very good. So when these blokes finally get their real chance over a period of time, they know if they don't take it well, that when the other blokes come back, you know, come the end of the year, come grand final day or semi-final day, they'll be watching.
Even someone like Freddie Lussick, that was only his second game of first grade and hadn't played in a long time because there's no reserve grade at the moment. Jake Friend went off after about 10 minutes for an HIA, didn't come back on, and he held his own. I mean, I know he's surrounded by a very classy outfit, but yeah, I mean, Robbo gave him a massive rap at the end too. So it's like, it's just the nature of the Roosters. Anyone who comes in, they just seem to be able to do their job.
You mentioned Jake Friend and Joe Offahengawe, who did the sort of knee drop there. I mean, he'd already been hit by friendly fire, hadn't he? Joe Warrior Hargreaves' shoulder had hit Jake Friend. I think that was where the first head knock was, but then he hit the ground and Offahengawe. So he gets a week, is that what
one
we're
week.
At?
So it's a grade one dangerous contact charge. So usually he'd get off with an early guilty plea, but because he's got carryover points, he'll miss a week. So yes, certainly not what Brisbane need with all of their troops out, to have him out for a week now as well.
How good are the Morris boys? I mean, they're, what, 40, 50 years old, and they are maybe half a yard of pace, but they're smart on a footy field. They're just great to watch.
I don't know if they've lost that much pace. I mean, I consider Katoni Staggs, you know, pretty quick and powerful, and especially off the mark. And I thought Josh was almost getting to him there at the end in that chase. So certainly haven't lost too much speed. And their smarts for the game is second to none. I mean, their ability just to be in the right place at the right time isn't a coincidence. They work hard at their game. They've been in the game a long time. And they're going to go another year, which is just great for the Roosters. Great for their salary cap, I'd imagine. Brady, what do you reckon the Roosters will be paying next year to keep the Morris boys
on
the books?
I know, probably 300, I'd imagine.
Good value, isn't it?
Great value. 350. Yeah. They're old. Yeah. They're aging players that are still very good. That, you know, Josh hasn't won a comp.
Yeah, he's
Brett's
had the
won
desire.
A couple.
Yeah,
yeah, and they want to. They rather than probably pick up an extra bit of money and go and play for a team that you can't pretty much guarantee is going to be a top four. Being with the Roosters is great, and the Morris boys have been great players. Every coach that's coached them, they've been outstanding players for. They've been good for every club. They don't give any coach or any club any grief off the field. They're good trainers, and one thing, you know, from a young age, which they probably don't get enough credit for, is their ability to save tries. As kids, no one taught them how to do that. They've been saving tries, which people don't give. Everyone talks about how many they score. You watch how many they save. Mm. They're outstanding. Yeah, terrific players.
Yeah, well, one man would love seeing their work last night, and we love seeing his performance when he's back on the field, was Boyd Cordner, the skipper of the Roosters. He joins us next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
58-12, that was the score. The Roosters ran up against the Broncos, led by the man returning to the fold, Captain Boyd Cordner, joins us right now. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate.
How was it running back out onto the beautiful SCG after a few weeks off?
Yeah, it was awesome, mate. Love being back out there. It's a bit harder watching in the stands. You know, I'm not the best spectator, so it was great to be back out there playing.
Boydie, Nathan Brown, how are you, mate?
Brownie, good, thank you, mate.
Hey, mate, having a rest with your Mella, mate, after a few head knocks, did you ever have any worries that you wouldn't get back, Boydy, or you always knew you would come back?
Yeah, always knew I'd come back. I felt pretty good, to be honest, like a couple of weeks from the head knock, but I'm very lucky that I have a club that cares about me and all the players there and our health first. So, you know, we're just cautious with it. I don't want to mess around with anything with the head, mate. And yeah, I was always very confident that I'll get back. But at the same time, it is a scary thing. You don't want to mess around with the head, that's for sure.
Hey, Boyd, you have an incredibly long injury list there at the Roosters, but everyone that comes in just manages to do their job. Everyone did last night, but gee, Satili Tupanua, he's just gone to another level this last month, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's been great. And he played a fair bit of first grade around this time last year, heading into the finals when we were in a similar position with injuries. And, you know, he got that experience under his belt. And this year he's turned another page and he's taken his game to another level. I think that just comes with experience and, yeah, I think we all can see the talent he's got, the toughness, and like you said, this last month of footy has been outstanding, and it's been really good for us at the Roosters to have a guy like that who's played his field in centres, back row, front row, and he's done a really good job at all them positions.
Is Angus worried he won't get his jersey back?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Gus will have no problems there coming back into that, but at the same time, That's what we want from them guys coming off the bench and coming in and doing a really good job. You know, it's only good for the team and creates a good headache there for Robbo as well.
What about, where is the club at the moment, Boydo? Like you spoke about the last couple of years, you guys have obviously, you know, this time of year, a couple of rounds to go before the finals. How's everyone feeling up and about? Is it hard to get motivated? Obviously, you've done it, you know, the last couple of seasons. Is it a different feel this year going for three?
Yeah, it definitely is. Every year has its different challenges. But yeah, the motivation's still there. We're all very keen to get stuck into this back end of the year. And we know we've got a tough month of footy coming up with obviously Raiders, Knights, Sharks, and then the Bunnies. So that will get us going really well heading into finals. And we get a few troops filtering back in over the next couple of weeks as well, which definitely helps in regards to going after another competition. That's definitely, you know, at the top of our list. We're doing everything we can at the moment, and we need to get back with all our players on the park, getting our combinations right heading into finals.
Boyd, a lot of the media talk this week will be about a man called Sonny Bill Williams, the notion that he was targeted for this weekend's game against the Raiders. Where is he at in that? And what's he been like since he's got back to the club? What does he bring?
Yeah, he just brings a load of experience. He instills confidence in the playing group. I think it's pretty evident to see of how much of an impact he has just walking into the building. You know, just the aura he's got and what he's achieved throughout his career in rugby league and across some different sports as well. Just to have a guy like that come into our team at this time of year, it's only been really good for us. You know, he's been training hard, getting his body prepared to go out and do a job for us. And whether it is this weekend, I suppose that's up to him and Robbo to sort out. But he'll be welcome with open arms whenever he comes back and plays.
Hey, Boyd, is Sonny going to play in the middle or on the edge, mate, or both?
Yeah, I think he'll come off the bench, Brownie, and do that middle role. I think Nat Butcher's doing an outstanding job, but to have an impact like that coming off the bench and to play that that ball playing lock and being that link there, I think that's the plan at the moment, mate. But he has been training in the back row as well on the edge.
Be pretty tough having a bloke like Sonny Bill come off the bench for 25 or 30 when all your other blokes soften him up, Boydy.
Yeah, just a battering ram for him.
Last night I was sitting sideline seeing Katoni Staggs run almost 80 metres or so.
You're asking if he got a try assist?
Oh, I don't know. I actually wasn't referring to that.
That's nice.
I was actually going to give Josh Morris a rap. I didn't realise he still had that pace in him. How good are those two boys at 34 years of age?
Yeah, they're outstanding. They're just footy players. just their knowledge of the game, and they just know where to be at the right times. They're always competing, and yeah, we're just blessed to have them at the Roosters, and at 35 years old, and you know, at the peak of their powers, it's pretty impressive to see, especially the how long they've played in their career. And I mean, it's sort of inspirational, to be honest. Like, yeah, the way they're turning up for us week in, week out, it's been enormous for us.
They not an easy guy to replace, Boydo Cooper Cronk, but a couple of young halves have been sort of shuffled around throughout the season. What have you made of Kyle and Lockie's development this year?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think Lockie was probably our best trainer all pre-season, and you know, the way he's been going about his business, he definitely deserved his start a couple of weeks ago. It's unfortunate with the injury, but then you got Kyle, who started the season for us, come over from the Sharks, and he's been impressive ever since he's stepped into the club. You know, the respect he has for his own his game and the game of rugby league, you can tell that he's just a footy player, loves it, and you know, he's a student of the game, and he's been really good, especially throughout that period where Lockie got a start. You know, you could see it hurt him, which is a good sign, and he worked extremely hard on his game, and you know, he just put his head down, worked hard to get back in the team. He got his shot, and he's been outstanding for us.
Just going back to the Morris boys quickly, and we know that Brett's got a couple of premierships. He's got one with the Dragons, obviously, as well as the Roosters. Josh, yet to mark one up. How keen is he to get that done?
Yeah, he is. He obviously doesn't come in and talk about it, but you can just tell, I think, that, you know, it was a big, big part of why he's still playing is to try and get that premiership like we all are. We definitely want another one as a club, so we'll be doing everything we can to get another premiership here at the Roosters and Josh's first one.
A couple of the usual suspects there in the Raiders and obviously the Storm. What have you made of the Panthers season so far?
Yeah, they've been really good. They've been faultless, to be honest. You know, they haven't really looked like fading at all. They go from strength to strength, and you know, they're believing in their system at the moment. I think it's safe to say that they're the benchmark, and yeah, they're a tough team. I think anyone, you know, in the top eight at the moment, there's a big gap from eighth to ninth now, which, you know, is pretty evident. So it's going to be a good race to the finals and see how it all pans out.
All right, Boyd Cordner, we thank you so much. Your amazing coach last night said it's good to have his voice in the dressing room again, speaking of you, and it's good to have your voice on the radio airwaves. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. Tap.
There he is, the skipper, Boyd Cordner. Must always be great when you're travelling along like they are and then you get a man of his experience back into the dressing shed.
Yeah, no, the two experienced front rows, probably, you know, Siwa and Hargraves, okay, probably helped that during that period, I thought, you know, with a few of the back rails out, and you know, they both can play big minutes, and both have won, I think they both won three grand finals each. Now, if they see Warren Jarrett, yeah, so right. I think they stood up and really, really delivered, and that helps, you know, the Satillis and these blokes play off the back of those good test front rails who have achieved so much, you know. So last night, you know, as I said, if you take what Brisbane had out, that was just shell and peas last night for the Roosters. Yeah.
The Rabbitohs and the Eels, 38-0 was the scoreline. We'll get there next on the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Brownie, Emma Gerds, Tony here with you for the Saturday afternoon, all heading towards kickoff 3 o'clock. The Warriors and the Knights from beautiful Tamworth. Peter Sterling will join us at 2 o'clock. We'll get his take on everything that's happened in the world of rugby league this week. Damien Cook will also be with us very shortly. Before then, let's get to that game, the Rabbitohs and the Eels. 38-0, the Rabbitohs, far too good. It was an incredibly impressive performance. Obviously, it was tempered in those rooms last night with the news that Latrell Mitchell's season is over. He's out for something like 5 months. What was thought at first to be a hamstring strain was a ruptured tendon, is what we're looking at.
Yep, that's right. So season definitely gone, and I guess that, I mean, takes a massive chunk of the preseason out as well. And We touched on it earlier, but just really sad given the fact that Luttrell was just starting to be the superstar we knew that he was. It was really tough. He was had to change clubs, had a few off-field dramas during that COVID lockdown. So, yeah, really, really unfortunate for the Bunnies. But I guess the good news is some of those players that are coming in, those outside backs, like Stephen Masters, Jackson Paulo, they're doing a great job. And they'll get, I think, Alex Johnston back next week, Dan Gagai, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks.
That'll
as well.
Be the question. You're right, Em. There are options, aren't they? Alex Johnston, I think it was Corey Allen went to fullback. Yeah, so
I'd say Johnston would go to fullback, and Gagai, I think, will probably go to the wing because Masters has had 2 weeks where, and his defense has been outstanding. So he was outstanding in defense the other day. So I reckon Wayne will go Gagai to the wing and Johnston to fullback.
And you still give them a shot because that was the performance was absolutely brilliant. And then you look at Mitchell gone. But with what they've got there, how do you rate what their chances are?
What they're going to get at fullback is, and one of the things that's helped Luttrell do so well is Wayne's experience as a coach. You know, when you watch the game from high, Luttrell's nowhere near as busy as Teddy. The fullbacks that have of the highest standard have been playing fullback for the last 4, 5, 10 years. You know, so he's nowhere near as busy. But what he's getting out of him, Wayne's probably just giving him a pat on the back, saying, "Oh, if I've got to accept this, you've got to get the quality right." And his quality's been, you know, line break assists first, try assists. I think he's second now. So those two things are going to lose that quality, you know. But what they'll get someone who's probably going to be a bit busier as far as more support play, probably busier in defence than what Luttrell's been. So they'll get some loss of class, but maybe a gain in some other areas.
Yeah. It's been, like, if you think about South Sydney, we spoke a couple of weeks ago and said, oh, maybe the South Sydney, because everyone was waiting for them to do something. Like, I think we'd seen sort of some patches where they were just, you know, they'd play unbelievably well, and then they would just fall into this sort of slumber, and everyone was saying, when can they put an 80-minute performance together? And I think we spoke last week before the Tigers game and said, well, maybe this is just South Sydney in 2020. We're not sure whether they've got that for 80 minutes. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen what they can do in 80-minute performances. And if you think, like, back to the last couple of years, they've been a really forwards-dominated side, haven't they, with on the back of momentum with Burgess and the like, you know, the three Burgesses, and then the speed of Cook and however they like to play through the middle, then always pushing up with the football with guys like Cody Walker taking advantage, but more of a running player. And I think with the loss of those guys, you know, they've kind of had to find, just because you throw a whole lot of talented people in the one side doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to click immediately. It's going to take time to find out how they operate best. And I think in the last couple of weeks we've seen that they're not that side that dominate through the middle anymore. They're a side that like to, you know, on the back of a little bit of momentum, hit the edges. And I think that's why Luttrell's been so important to him, because there's not a lot of players. The good, you know, as Brandy said, the really good fullbacks, you know, put themselves in the game a lot and have that pass. But Luttrell's doing some pretty amazing things at the moment out the back that maybe an Alex Johnston probably hasn't got the feel for, maybe an Allen hasn't got the feel for. So I think it takes a lot out of where they're going and who they've developed into as a team. So when people are always going to say at the moment, oh, can they do it without Luttrell? The way that they're playing at the moment, not just the presence and the confidence he gives the group, but the side that I've seen them develop into this year relied heavily upon what he was doing on both sides of the field out the back of that shape. And that, you know, take nothing away from the form of their two halves are playing great and their pack are doing all the business, don't get me wrong, but they were potent when they go to those edges, and when Luttrell's there keeping busy, they're scoring points.
Yeah, well, but Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker were sensational last night, and playing with each other in terms of on either side of the ruck, off each other, was brilliant to watch.
Yeah, they're both, you know, it was only like 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was the first to think, you know, South's a cannon fodder, they're going to run 8th or 7th, make up the numbers, and out they go, you know, and then 2 weeks ago, it was like, they're improving, and then last week, it was like, geez, they're going well. And I thought coming into the game, they'd beat Parramatta. I don't think Parramatta's playing well at all, and South's are really rising, and, you know, some of the things that help them, I think, you know, Wayne's always had that ability to get, you know, that sort of middle-of-the-road forward or a bit of an unknown forward to just do his job well. And he's got a couple of those blokes now that are starting to find the pace of the game. A few of those guys that are coming off the bench for him are starting to really find the pace of the game, and they're doing a solid enough job. And with Jaden Sewer has always been a high-end talent as a kid. Now he's finding the game quite easy, and he'll be as good as any edge back row in the game because he's starting to find his way, and he's going to play for Queensland without a doubt. Cameron Murray's obviously an outstanding player, and what they've both got leg work and leg speed and footwork.
Yep.
And they can both promote the ball. So they've got those two. And Bailey Sirenin's.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he's just.
Gets better every week.
Yeah. Like he was outstanding the other day. And it was only 12 months ago where, you know, people were thinking, oh, this kid's just not going to quite get there. And Wayne put him in there, give him a pat on the back. And, like, he was outstanding the other day. So now all of a sudden they've got a back row that's got leg speed, that's got enough tackle breaks in it through footwork and leg speed.
Mm.
Plus they can all pass and use the ball, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't be saying that they haven't got a big scalp in them with Latrell gone myself. I still think they have more than capable because the one thing they did have coming into the start of the season was too many backs.
Mm.
So now that too many backs with the loss of Latrell and the loss of the centre they lost earlier and Jimmy the Jet, now that loss of backs with Masters coming on and Johnson to come back and Gay Guy to come back, you know, the sort of heavy number of backs is going to probably weigh in their favour.
You mentioned the influence of Wayne, and a number of players have spoken at length and publicly about how Wayne has changed not just the way they play footy, but just the way they're able to change their life. For example, Liam Knight, he, you know, been at a couple of clubs, bit of trouble off the field, and he said...
I don't buy into that Wayne changed Liam Knight. Liam Knight got told by Trent Robinson, got told by Ricky Stewart, got told by every coach he's had that going out and behaving like you are is not going to make you an NRL player. At the end of the day, Liam Knight got told the same story by Wayne that Trent Robbo told him, that Ricky Stewart told him. He just decided to listen. The coach doesn't change his player. The player changes behaviour.
But do you think he... No, you don't buy it?
No way in the world. No, I don't buy it at all because...
Is he more mature? So he was just at a stage where he was ready to change and earlier...
Well, he's got told the same thing and all of a sudden Liam Knight thought, maybe the last three...
We're actually telling me the right thing.
Maybe it's actually me.
Yeah.
He just, if he'd had Wayne when he was 20, he wouldn't have worked. Wayne got him at the right time.
What about the, let's flip side it then, the blue and gold Parramatta 38, Neil. How do you, when you, you know, coming through, you have expectations of being certainly a top four side, certainly challenging. When you get hammered by that scoreline, how does it affect the team's mindset? Is it something that they can come back from?
Look, I think the question I think that needs to be asked to Parramatta is, do they believe that they can win the premiership? I think everyone asks, you know, in the media, we always ask, you know, about it, and people always ask you about it when they bump into you, the Parramatta, can we win? It's like, I believe they've got the talent to win the premiership. Do they? And at the moment, it looks like it's almost self-sabotage. It's almost like Parramatta don't want to put themselves in a position to let everyone down at the back end of the season, because I've seen them win the games that they need to win. That win, the only game Penrith lost was against Parramatta early on after the COVID break. And I thought Penrith were the better side for 75 minutes, and Wonga Blake scores two tries in the end, and they go home and win that game from being the side that probably wasn't the best one for the 80 minutes. Now, I don't think they've had a decent victory since the Cowboys in maybe round 8. So it's been a slight decline for the Parramatta Eels, and you have to ask yourself, you know, why? Like, is it, obviously, when you look at their side, have they got anyone in their side that's got experience at being at a top-end club for a period of time and having success? And you would say Michael Jennings had it for a while at the Roosters, but not during the current period where they, you know, were really dominant. Blake Ferguson was there, but he was kind of there for a short window as well. Other than that, they don't have a lot of guys in there that really have been around an environment that is just a successful one that wins and knows how to handle different situations. And Brad Arthur, again, been in some great systems, but not a coach that has probably been through that. So if you ask me where Parramatta are at the moment, I have absolutely no idea. I think they've got the potential, if they can get it together, to go out and make a dent in the finals. Losing Dylan Brown's a big one. But you'd have to ask them, do they believe that they can go on and contribute to the back end of the season? At the moment, I would say, no, they don't believe that they can.
If they don't have a good period over the next few weeks, I think it's curtains for them. They need to get going again. You know, they've had a pretty average month of footy. Yep. They got beat by the Dragons, who fell in against the Broncos, who the Roosters just put 60 on. You know, they beat Melbourne Storm minus seven or eight high end players. They've fell in against a couple of teams.
Round eight was their last time made a bit of a statement.
Yeah, and then if they lose Dylan Brown, you know, that they need to get themselves going over the next sort of couple of weeks, because if they don't, all the thought in the mind, because most of their players haven't played big game footy, a lot of it, you know, where the sides are going to come up against. We've got blokes who have played plenty of big game footy.
Just quickly, because we are going to get to Damien Cook in a minute. What, so Dylan Brown is what's
out
the...
They're saying indefinitely now. Originally, it was kind of around the four-week mark, but he has to undergo surgery. They won't know the full extent until that happens. So could be the rest of the season for Dylan Brown.
That is bad news. Type our scoreboard. Just a reminder, 38-0. That was the Rabbitohs over the Eels. Damien Cook joins us next.
The Triple M. Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to be with you. Heading towards kickoff, 3 o'clock. Warriors taking on the Knights from Tamworth. Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires. And it is with great pleasure that we welcome to the show Damien Cook. G'day, mate.
Afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Congratulations. That was an amazing performance from the Rabbitohs. Tell me, what was the mood, though, in the dressing room? Obviously, you were incredibly positive about the performance, but was it tempered slightly with Latrell Mitchell and his injury?
Yeah, it was, mate. But yeah, we had a great win. It was probably the best performance the club's had in a few years, not only just to keep him to nil, but a full 80-minute performance, which we've been working towards. And with Latrell, we weren't probably too sure how bad it was going to be, you know, considering he actually walked off the field himself. And now to know, you know, how bad it is, it's obviously terrible news.
Cookie, mate, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was watching you play. I thought you were just sort of going to fluff into the eight and be a bit of cannon fodder for someone. But the last 3 weeks, your level of performance has got better, better and better. And now you're looking like you can beat anyone. What's been the big change in your opinion?
For us, it's definitely been attitude from each individual player. When we first come back from the COVID break, we saw a lot of silly mistakes in our game where it was just individuals dropping the ball, coming out of their own end, or giving away silly six against and or penalties out of it. And letting other teams out of their own end too easy. And we just made it hard for ourselves. And what we've seen, especially the last 2 weeks, high completion rate. We know we've got the points in us, but the most positive thing has been our defence the whole time. It's been the most consistent part. And not having to work that extra harder, we've got the points in us now. So something we've got to keep working on. And another thing, you know, the last month as well, we've had the spine all on the field together 5 weeks in a row, which is the first time this year. So that's obviously a big part of it, all of us playing together as well, because the rest of the side, they've been doing their job consistently week in, week out.
Cookie, you've got some big names in your side, yourself, Cody, Latrell, Reynolds, but what about someone like Bailey Siren, and how impressed have you been with just the way that his game has gone to another level this year and especially over the last month?
Yeah, look, it's been great to see Bailey playing some great footy and well-deserved as well. He's a footballer and he's probably one of the first picked by Wayne each week, to be honest. He's a bit of a Mr. Fix-It for us as well. He's doing a great job. He's probably more of a lock, but he's doing a great job on the edge for us boys. And, you know, he's seen himself in the halves earlier this year, in the centres as well. So he's covering a lot of positions there as well. And like I said, I'm sure he's one of Wayne's first picks each week.
Cookie, how are you finding the year, bud? Obviously, you guys were just talking about the way you've sort of changed the style of play from, you know, a really forwards-dominated game over the past couple of years with Sam and all the boys to playing a real expansive sort of model at the moment and getting the best out of Latrell and the outside backs. How are you finding fitting into this change?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And, yeah, I'm really – I love the forward pack that we've got at the moment too. There's a lot of young boys that are stepping up and doing a great job, especially off our bench. Our bench has been outstanding and been one of the big reasons why we've been winning games lately. So, you know, for us, it's all about winning that battle up front and getting that momentum for the outside backs. We've got a great back line and the likes of Latrell and Cody and Reno are doing a great job of setting those boys up. So I've really enjoyed, especially seeing a wing, you know, the wingers and centres all score the tries. It just means we've done our job in the middle as forwards.
Are you seeing as much space personally? Are you seeing as much opportunity as you have in the past?
Well, there's definitely, you know, there's quick play the balls sometimes, but what I've noticed is with these new rules and six agains, and sometimes when teams are on the back foot, everyone's actually looking after the middle first, so there's not too much space around. You know, you might be able to pick up some easy meters in behind the ruck, but if we can sort of draw those defenders in, and that's when you're seeing all the outside backs get the joy out of that. So it's getting quick in the middle, and there's a lot of work through the middle for every team each week, but you know, we do that part and win that battle. That's why I mean the backs will get the joy of it.
Yeah, so speaking of joy, we've all enjoyed the pictures of the smiling coach, Wayne Bennett, last week, and then talking about rugby league, the love of his life, all of those things. How has he been since he's been back amongst you?
No, I think he was just happy to be back to get out of his, I don't know where he's living at the moment, but probably some waterfront penthouse somewhere. But yeah, I think he was actually, he was happy to get out of there and back to the boys, and I think he was really grateful that, you know, we got the job done while he was away, and he had full trust that you would as well, even though he was getting in on the Zoom and figuring out how to use technology and get up to date with all us boys and still staying in touch with us. So, but he's been great to have back as well, especially this time of year. There's no one better about getting a team ready.
Cook, earlier in the year when the six again first started, I thought a lot of dummy halves because it was a lot quicker and there was more opportunity to run. I thought a lot of the dummy halves were running too much and playing too much. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, definitely. I think you can, that's what happened at the start. You could probably overplay your hand a little bit. And that's what I was talking about before. It might be a quick play of the ball and you might think there's a good opportunity to run. But that's where it might have been better just to get a forward in behind the ruck and then go off the next one. But like I said, you know, it has been quick and everyone's going to think the hookers are going to run all the time. But it's actually all the defenders are quite tight looking after the middle, especially when those six again calls happen. So that's what we're seeing. You know, I think it's more of for the fullbacks and the 5-8s. I think they're finding a lot of joy in these rules, you know, playing a defensive line on the back foot.
Yeah, because we spoke to you early in the season, Cookie, and you said that you were still trying to adjust the amount of defence that you've now had to do on the back of these changes. Have you looked at your numbers this year compared to last year in relation to the amount of tackles you're doing?
No, I actually haven't. Been, you know, put in comparison to last year's numbers at all. But I can, you know, I can definitely tell you, you know, as a player in the middle at the moment, there's definitely a lot of teams trying to go through the middle as well, and just to try put the work into the forwards, and you're trying to work towards that six again rule and just play that field possession. So I think that's a lot of teams are doing at the moment. We're obviously doing that as well. Like I said, we've got some, you know, our back rows at the moment are doing a great job, so we're allowed to move the ball around in the middle at the moment and create that momentum, and that's when you get the halves on the back foot playing at speed. It's hard to stop.
Hey, Cookie, just back on Wayne, one of my favourite times of the week is Wayne's press conference. He always gives us some gold and we get a vision opportunity to go out to Redfern and watch you guys train, and he's always laughing and joking. I'm just interested, does he have a favourite, do you think? Is there a coach's pet there at the Bunnies?
Yeah, I think there is.
Are you willing to say on air?
Yeah, it's probably Cody, I think. I think Cody and Reynolds would battle it out, I think, to be the favourite. He's always been a halves, loves his halfbacks, I think. So I don't know who would get. I'm going to say Reynolds would pick Cody for the favourite, I think, at the moment.
A bloke once said to me, Cook, it's all right to have favourites if you're a coach, as long as they're bloody good players. And Cody would be his favourite because he's a bloody good player. So it's all right.
That's right. No, they're both on fire at the moment, so he's obviously doing something right. Yeah.
They were brilliant last night. It was a great performance. As we said, Latrell Mitchell aside, 38-0, the Rabbitohs over the Eels. Damien Cook, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much, mate.
No, thanks for having me. See you guys.
There he is, Damien Cook. Another great performance from the Rabbitohs. We have plenty to come in the next hour. Tyrone Peachy will join us. Remember, Sterlo comes in at 2 o'clock. We've got Reedy's Mail to look forward to. So much ahead, all leading to the Warriors taking on the Knights. As Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.